Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day.
Hump day!
Thanks so much for being with us. Good morning, Randy.
What's happening, man? Yeah, the tease as far as the trade deadline. I was sitting there, is it 207? No news. 307? No news.
Uh-huh.
347? Okay, no news. Dukes of Bell won't get the breaking news. So I was good on that.
But selfishly, at least nobody got breaking news.
Yeah, selfishly about that, but, as far as, you know, yeah, them trying to acquire some help to get a defensive player or whatever kind of player to help this team go forward and everything. Was not surprised at all that a move was not made. And I'm thinking, like, you know, I know the name was always Aziz Ojulari, and then you hear they wanted a two for him.
Yeah.
I'm not giving them a two for him.
And that's the reason why.
And that's why.
They
wanted too much for him. Rightfully so. He's a young ascending pass rusher who's going to hit the free agent market next year, mm-hmm, make a nice little check for himself. But outside of that, it's like, who was it? Harold Landry and other guys, like Arden Key guys like that.
Yep.
I mean, what did they want? I'm sure they wasn't there more than a six or seven. But was that going to transform your pass rush?
Certainly not going to transform it. It almost at that point felt like it would be something to placate, just to sort of make you feel better about, okay, we're going for it, or at least we believe that we're all in, so we're going to try to show that we're all in or something like that. I don't think that the three sacks on Sunday changed their thought process.
I hope not.
I hope not, too. I hope not, too. I think it was just more of I'm sure Terry Fontenot called. I'm sure he tried. I know Dukes and Bell are going to be up there today in Flowery Branch, and they'll talk about it and maybe even get some answers. At the end of the day, Falcons don't have a lot of draft assets right now for a couple of different reasons, mm-hmm, trades and sanctions and stuff like that. And teams were asking too much for, like, average return. You know what I mean? Like, no offense to these guys. And I would have loved it if they would have gone out and gotten it. I'm more of a blank these picks kind of guy.
Right.
Because I don't get fired if it doesn't work out.
Right.
I just want the team to try to go as all in as they can right now. Now, if they would have gotten Aziz Ojulari yesterday, does that take you from what to what? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, had you done that?
You get better.
You get better.
Because he's a good player.
You get better. But are you better than, like, where you sort of see yourself right now in the NFC? I don't know.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I still think there's a top shelf, and I think the Falcons are right below that, mm-hmm, and that's no shame. I think the Falcons are really good, and that's probably even better than we had anticipated them being when the season started. They look really good offensively. But I don't know that they're one guy like that. Now, if the one guy was Myles Garrett or, mm-hmm, Max Crosby or, mm-hmm, something like that, which was going to cost you an arm and a leg to go get, and clearly wasn't even on the table because those guys didn't move, maybe that would have been it. But yeah, the moves that we were talking about would have been nice, and I would have liked to have seen them do it. But the fact that they didn't do it doesn't really change my outlook on the team.
No, I mean, they are who they are.
Yeah,
you know, they are who they are. It's going to be it's going to be a struggle.
It is.
To rush the passer.
It is.
Is this what it is?
I asked Joe last Thursday or the Thursday before, I don't remember, whatever, the answer remains the same. The ceiling of the defense if they don't add anything.
Right.
Well, Yeah, okay. It's average.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just going to be an average defense.
It is just going to be. That's when I think we talked about it on Monday. They're just going to have to try to thrive off of a turnover and trying to get the ball off of teams like that and continually be a bend but don't break, no touchdown, field goal type team. Mm-hmm. But some of those things can also hurt you offensively because that takes away possessions, that takes away time, all those different things like that. So, I mean, we figured it out from as the season went along. It don't matter if they got the lead.
No.
That was the thing. They got to get the lead to be able to rush the passer.
All the different little ingredients that we were – I don't know if anyone really believed them, but you say them because you have to say stuff into the microphone on Wednesdays when you meet with the media.
Right.
All that – well, you know, play with the lead.
Yeah. No.
Stop the run.
No.
Make them one-dimensional.
No.
Because, I mean, you know, Cowboys kind of are, but still didn't.
Yeah.
And they got three last week, so maybe the worm is turning and they're going to start getting multiple sacks every weekend, hopefully. Mm. But yeah, they're just not good at rushing the passer, and that's that.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Unless it's
frustrating, but that's that.
But then it comes down to, you know, things that Jimmy has said and obviously Raw has said is you got to just start winning more one-on-one battles. You got to get guys winning one-on-one battles, especially a guy who you gave up a pick for this summer and Matthew Judon, who just, you know, last week, if he doesn't get his hand on that screen, that's a house call.
Probably a touchdown.
Yeah, it's a house call. So it's a great play by him, but he's still not doing what he needs to do as far as, and Ross said it. We brought you here to do something, and you're not getting that done. And so we'll just continue to see how it goes and how Jimmy tries to scheme up and if he blitzes more and all those different things. They play the two high because they don't want to give up the big play and everything like that. Fine, whatever. That's how you want to play. You're 6-3 playing that way.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. And I won't say most impressive, but it is what it is. You're 6-3 in control of the South, playing a certain type of way. Mm-hmm. And so then you look at it as far as every sack is a bonus. I don't want to look at it that way.
No.
You should be – that's a part of the game.
No, I can't – like, you know, we just said they're not very good at getting to the quarterback, and that's that.
Right.
But I can't live with getting three sacks in a month.
Right.
You know, like you've got to get to the point where what you did on Sunday was, all right, that was maybe the best game that we've got at getting to the quarterback, but if you can affect him, because they affected him, Caden Ellis, they used in different ways, mm-hmm. and he was played really well. Effective at getting to the quarterback.
They used him like he was using in New Orleans.
They did, where he, I believe, had seven sacks in the final year before he came here, so maybe that's a little bit of a key to unlock the mystery of the pass rush, because that's what it is now, okay, trade deadline's come and gone, you've had the injuries that you've had, you've got some guys back that you didn't have before, and it's up to Jimmy Lake and Raheem Morris to use the weapons that they have and figure out how to get them home. And again, they did it Sunday three times. Mm-hmm. One of them was sort of a coverage sack, sort of a Dak just didn't see the guy and held on to it. Whatever.
That dude was wide ass open.
That would have been a touchdown too. That would have been, but whatever. Yeah, whatever. Because we said it the week before, Baker dropped back 50 times. Can you stumble?
Yeah.
Like, can your shoe come untied and you fall down once? Because most teams luck into one. Yeah. So they lucked into that one, but Ebikiti earned the next one. Mm-hmm. Like, he got back there and won. And maybe he can start doing that a little bit more. Again, it's not going to be a strength of the team, but if it can just not be a crippling, embarrassing weakness.
Yes.
The offense is good enough for you to be able to live with
it. I agree with that. And I think it is a glaring weakness, but the reason it's not embarrassing because you're 6-3. Now, you know what I mean?
You know what I mean? If they were 3-6, it's all we'd talk about.
Exactly. But
it isn't, because if they were 3-6, that would mean Kirk Cousins wasn't good.
Yeah, but they're in the plus category as far as that. And now you're getting ready to go against an opponent who's rightful so. It's just bad.
Yeah.
Anytime a coach is fired within season, I've been through it twice. It's a hard thing to do, man, because there's a lot of confusion and everything like that. But the thing about it is, it's a rallying cry for the players a lot of times. It really, really is, because you do feel like I had some blame in this man getting fired because I didn't do what I needed to do on Sundays to get it done. And so you feel that way and you rally around it, and then you find a coach. And I saw his first presser yesterday, said all the right things of a guy who's trying to motivate his team and everything like that, and gets it. And obviously he wants his damn job. And we've seen stranger things with interim coaches get a job.
Yeah, last year, a couple
last
coaches.
Year, Antonio Pierce.
Yeah.
So he wants this job, and so he knows what he has to do to try to get his football team ready. They traded away one of the best players yesterday in Marshall Lanimo, which he is one of the best players on their football team. But they still have, you know, they got Alvin Kamara, and they got the dude who always beats the hell out of Atlanta and Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. And so that is going to be a rallying cry, especially because it's in New Orleans, and the Falcons are coming down there.
Yeah.
And so you got to be prepared for that, and you got to match your energy. Their energy is going to be there. I promise you, it is going to be there. But the Falcons are the better team going down there.
Certainly to start. I think you can take it. I think you could take it from them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that new coach energy could.
It could.
14 nothing in the first quarter.
It
is like,
can go
oh,
away so fast.
I guess it wasn't just him.
It can go away so. it can go away so fast.
I guess it wasn't just. Wasn't old Dennis.
Yeah.
I guess it was us.
Yeah, but I mean, you, if you
that's got to be. I know the new coach energy for sure, but it's got to be a bit of a gut punch to just trade away your best guy.
Yeah.
It's like oh, all right. Yeah. So we're punting on this thing, which they should be punting on.
Right.
But like you know. You lie to yourself. Math, right? Remember we were doing that a couple years ago? Pride and math.
But
it's nice to not have to be doing pride and math conversations.
Yeah. But you're looking at it. I mean, they still have good players. They have an outstanding leader on defense. Two outstanding leaders on their defensive side of football. That's not going to let – I know they lost the best corner, but it's not going to – it would be more of a talent thing than a scheme or an effort thing.
Definitely.
And everything going forward.
And the Falcons also have that wake-up call of knowing they can come out flat and get beat by a team they're better than, like they did against Seattle a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, you go in there and you play like your life depends on it. You probably come out of New Orleans with a double-digit win. You go down there messing around, you lose. They're an NFL football team, man. You go down there and lose, and that would – kill a lot of positive momentum, so don't do that. All right, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll come back and unpack the college football playoff rankings, first edition. Georgia is seeded 2, but ranked 3. What does that mean? We'll explain it next on Sports Radio 92.9.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Game.
They both had great wins in terms of on the road, Ohio State against Penn State this week, Georgia at Texas. But what we felt is in terms of the losses they had, Ohio State lost to number one Oregon by one, and Georgia lost at Alabama, which is ranked number 11. And so that was really the difference. I mean, the very you know, we're splitting hairs in terms of looking at two great teams.
What a weird-ass-looking dude.
Ward Manuel.
Whoa.
Ward Manuel there.
Dude.
Speaking on behalf of the College Football Playoff Committee.
What a weird-ass-looking dude. I was like, who the hell is that on the TV? Weird-ass-looking dude, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that pains him as a Michigan man to say those things about Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I can't really argue with that part of it. My retort would be that Georgia certainly has a better win than Ohio State does. I think the win over Penn State is a good win, but by the skin of their teeth versus Georgia going also on the road and pretty well laying the hammer to Texas when Texas was the number one team in the country. Right. But whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's the first edition of the of the college ball playoff rankings. Georgia's at 3. They could have been at number 2. They're at number 2 when they seed them.
Yes.
Because we were talking about it yesterday.
Yes.
We were like, are they going to seed it or are they going to rank it?
Yes.
The answer was yes.
Both.
They did both.
Yes.
They did both. So in the seedings, when they do the bracket, Georgia was number 2 because it's the conference leaders, the presumed conference champions. Oregon 1, Georgia 2,
Miami
3, and BYU 4, yes. Which was probably a good reminder for some people that BYU is in the Big 12. Because who knew?
Right.
Well, we knew, but maybe not everybody.
I need
knew.
To be the 5 seed then, right?
Which was that?
Hold on, I'm trying to think. Who would play BYU? Would play the winner of 12-5, right?
No, then BYU in that. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, the winner of 12-5. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, I was, it's going to be like this. We talked about it, and I said to mention yesterday because I know Coach Saban brought it up, like, and because of BYU being at 4. And this was what he was talking about. Have the best 4 teams be the 4 top 4 seeds.
Yeah, I think
but then you look like, well, what's the point of having conference championships and all those different things?
Now, that's a great question for the future. Because there might not be a point.
Exactly.
Which sucks because those games are great and winning your conference has always really meant something. And I think that there's going to be an ugly truth to making the conference championship this year, which is it's more penalizing than rewarding for the team that loses it.
Yeah.
Now, if you win it, obviously that's very rewarding. You get a bye and that's
great. Right.
But if you're a one-loss team that makes the conference championship and you lose that game, a team that's in your conference that also had one loss that didn't make the conference championship might get in the playoff.
Exactly.
Well, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
I played an extra game. I made the postseason. And I even played good in it, but I lost it, so now I get penalized for it, which isn't new. Like, last year, Georgia made the conference championship game, lost it, was the best team in the country, got left out of the playoff, and ultimately didn't get a chance to prove that they were the best team in the country in the playoff. That won't happen this year because there's 12 teams, but there's still going to be controversy.
Oh, yeah.
There's still going to be, splitting hairs and this team did this and this team did that. Here's the one thing that I will say I think we've learned over the 10 years of the playoff. I know this is a 12-team playoff, but it's still the same idea.
Hold on. When he said 10 years last night, I was like, whoa.
I know.
Really?
Right?
Yeah, when he said that last night, I was like, damn.
I know. It's
damn.
Yep.
10 years.
10 years.
Wow.
Took forever to get there. And then finally, like, oh, 4, all right, now we'll go to 12. And then we'll do 12 for however long, and then we'll go to 16.
Right.
Will we stop at 16? I don't know.
You have to.
Maybe. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. We'll get there when we get there, though. But what Ward Manuel said last night about that game, fine, that's a fair explanation. Just don't, like, because this is what people do, because they treat all this stuff like it's legal precedent. Don't, like, just remember what he said verbatim, and then when he says something different next week, tweet it.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter.
Right.
There's no standard. There's no consistency. The consistency is we watched the games this weekend with all the information that we had and tried to do our best.
Right.
Because they're human beings. Like, it really is what it is. They're susceptible to storylines and recency bias and all that kind of stuff. We do this thing of, well, Ward Manuel said this on November 5th. And then on November 17th, he said this. And it's like, yeah, that's right. It changed.
It changed.
Because it wasn't a Supreme Court case and it wasn't written into law. Yep. They can change. They can basically do whatever they want. Pick the 12 best teams they think with 4 automatic bids and actually 5 with the group of 5 team automatically bidding as well. But hey, shout out to Boise State.
Yeah, man.
They were 12 either way.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Boise State, hell, but they lost by 3 points at Oregon or something like that?
Yeah, with a big lead in the fourth quarter. That's so, the only loss they have.
And so, I mean, you look at it from, as far as going forward, it's always going to be shook up after this week, with the matchups as far as, in the SEC, Georgia versus Ole Miss, and then I think it's an elimination game between LSU and Alabama.
It is.
And then you're going to get Indiana, who's playing lights out. We talked about them yesterday. They just beat the hell out of people, but who are they beating the hell out of?
Right.
And then they get an opportunity to play Ohio State. It looks like Miami's going to be in regardless. It looks like. I don't see them collapsing it like that or anything like that.
Yeah.
But they're going to win the ACC, even if they lose to who would be there? Would they play Clemson?
SMU, maybe.
SMU, I'm sorry. Again, we just talked about SMU.
Sneaky little SMU just kind of hanging SMU, around.
SMU ACC school.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah, that's
also. PSA.
Yes.
SMU's in the ACC.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's gonna all shake itself and work its way out and everything like that. But it's the first one. Not surprised by any of them. Because we knew that BYU was going to be there.
Yeah.
We knew BYU was going to be in the 4th slot and everything. So, yeah, again, nothing
surprised. They're undefeated. And they beat SMU.
And then you can look down there. You got right there, you knew kind of like Notre Dame. As long as they keep winning. I know they had the bad loss to Northern Illinois.
That's the one that irritates me.
I know they had the bad loss to Northern Illinois, but they're continuously winning. And,
yes, they deserve to be there, but it irritates me.
Yeah, it irritates everybody.
I thought when they lost to Northern Illinois, we were good.
It was done. But they are Notre Dame. and which is unfortunate.
They've been playing better.
They've been playing better. They have been playing better. And so you look at it from there. I think the committee is overlooking that loss as long as they win out, because they got to win out. They don't have a conference championship or anything. They're still the only damn independent that's in this. And so, yeah. What do they got to do?
Oh, God, their win out is so winnable.
Yeah. Well, they got SC.
They got Florida State.
Okay.
They got Virginia.
Okay.
They got Army, who's good, but I
they
mean.
25. I think they were 25.
Yeah, they were 25.
Yeah.
And then USC, who isn't good.
No, they're not.
USC's so bad. Lincoln Riley's going to the old bag of tricks. He's banning reporters again.
He's banning reporters, and he quarterback change.
Yeah.
Banning reporters, quarterback change.
Yeah. What's the guy's name? Riley Moss?
That guy.
Who'd they beat? They beat LSU early, right? And people were like, oh, dark horse. Dark horse Heisman.
They're playing defense.
He was learning behind Caleb.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He actually is pretty good. He just throws a lot of interceptions. So many interceptions. They should have beat Washington by 21 last week.
I mean, three yesterday. I mean,
three. Every chance he got to throw an interception in a big moment, he threw an interception. What else was there regarding that? Nothing really. I mean, it's just kind of, you know, it's the first one. It matters a little bit more than the AP, but not that much more than the AP, because it's all going to shake out in the wash.
Yes.
The only reason they do it is
clicks. And anger.
And views. You watch it last night, and then a couple guys in Atlanta will do 10 minutes on it at 11:20 on their radio
show.
There
it is right there.
Because if they wouldn't have released the rankings last night, we probably would have just done, oh, Georgia plays Ole Miss. Here's Kirby talking about that, which we will do later in the show, by the way. Hey, Abe, I'm going to try to use a different audio clip here, if that's all right. We'll do Raheem Morris talking about Grady Jarrett and Drake London's injury status.
Grady's day-to-day. Okay. Obviously, looked at it today. I think it was good news, good sign, the imaging and all that type of stuff. I don't know the exact terms, but I think he'll be feeling better than he felt yesterday. So let's just say that. And Drake has the hip pointer. I'm thinking that's day-to-day. That'd be the little pain tolerance deal. And I definitely have a better feel on Thursday. You know, we'll see what Wednesday entails and what that looks like, but I definitely have a better feel for that on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a hip pointer.
What part of your hip is the pointer?
I don't know. It's like right here. I'm pointing at, but like okay, people can't see it.
I know,
right,
but let's describe it.
It's like right above, like, so right where the waistline is.
Okay, yeah.
It's below that.
But on the side.
Yes.
Like right above your hip socket.
Yes.
Okay, but it's not the bone over there.
It could be.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah, it could be.
Okay.
I landed on all this, and they said it was a hip pointer.
Got it.
And so I don't know the exact location of it. All I know is that it hurt like hell.
Sure.
And it's sore as hell.
Yeah,
and
it sounds terrible.
And it's one of those things where just touching it.
Anytime someone has one, they're out a little bit longer than they say that they should be.
Yeah, man. And it's a pain thing. It's a pain tolerance. I'd anticipate him still playing and everything like that. But, yeah, it's all about how much tolerance he can as far as the pain. Achilles strain with Grady. They say you just don't like to hear
that
word right there.
Anytime you hear that word,
you just hate to hear that when it's referring to anybody.
Yep.
And so you don't know how, you know, the approach that and everything. Obviously, he's going to be limited this week in practice. I wouldn't be surprised if both of them are limited this week and try to get them ready to go on Sunday, because Grady was whipping ass on Sunday.
He played really well.
He was like, they're whipping ass on Sunday.
Grady's had such a weird season, because it's either that or you don't really hear from him.
Right.
Like, that's kind of been the games. Like, in the 9 games, I feel like 5 of them he's been just phenomenal in the backfield, really effective, and then in 4 of them it's kind of like, where was Grady at this week?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what that's
about. That's something, you know, we mentioned a couple weeks ago, you know, because I thought that, you know, you would think that you didn't want to play him as much as he's playing right now. You know, and because you thought that these younger guys
really
would be ready and be at a part
healthy.
Of the, and healthy. And
Roro finally got in there and they got hurt.
And being part of the rotation and take some of that stress and plays off of him and David. But obviously that is not happening.
Yeah. Hey, the Hawks have the Knicks tonight in town, 7:30 right here on Sports Radio.
How was the hotel?
Oh, you know what? I didn't drive by it.
Oh, you drive by there? Oh,
no, okay. I went the I kind of turned left before then.
Oh, okay.
I used to drive by it back when I was stealing free parking downstairs.
Yeah.
And then when my free parking pass stopped working after 7 months, I had to go back to the neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
And now when I park in the neighborhood, I turn left before I go by the hotel. So my little hotel intel doesn't work anymore.
Do we know anything on all of this status of who's hurt, who's not hurt for the Hawks?
Here's what I know.
Okay.
Everybody's hurt.
Okay. We know that.
Yeah.
Who's playing?
Game time decisions.
Trey should go tonight? Okay.
It says game time decision, but
Okay. Well, I mean, the Knicks are one of the better teams in the you know, in the Eastern Conference, and the Hawks have just not found their stride yet. Obviously, there's a lot of people in and out of the lineup, in and out of the rotation, and so hopefully you can find a way to get these guys healthy, and you can try to maybe, because the team has not been complete all year.
I don't know who's in charge of this or if they would ever do this. Probably not. But it would be a very funny inside joke for us and our listeners. If they can play like Purple Rain or something when Karl Anthony Towns is on the free throw line.
Dude. And I know whoever plays the music is listening.
They might be.
Please. Please. Please.
Something. Some Prince song.
Please play it. Because, I mean.
Or just hit the like the. Come on. Come on for us. For old times.
How's he playing this year?
He's fine.
He's been all right.
Yeah, he's playing all right.
Okay.
He's playing like Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay.
Like pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, but it's not the playoffs yet. So yeah.
They still, I want to see how long they all last because they lost some of their depth.
Oh, yeah.
And we know Tibbs is 40 a night.
Tibbs is going to run them into
Tibbs is a 40 a night coach.
But yeah, no, injuries are certainly a story there. Unfortunately, some Braves injuries as well. We'll talk about later in the show. But Alex Anthopoulos telling us Acuna and Strider not going to be ready for opening day. Hate it.
Hate it.
All right. Dave Archer is going to join us next. We'll talk some Falcons with Arch, as we always do on Wednesdays at 11:40. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day, 20 minutes away from getting back into all the big stories in the NFL. The trade deadline comes and goes yesterday. 4 o'clock. Bunch of trades were made. The Falcons didn't make one. We'll ask Dave Archer about that in just a minute and many other Falcons questions as well. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. And like we mentioned, Arch joins us at 11:40 on Wednesdays every single week. Arch, how are you?
What up, Dave?
Good to be with you, boys. How you doing?
Good.
Pretty good. Obviously, enjoying what the Falcons were able to do against the Cowboys, looking ahead to the game this weekend against the Saints as well. Do want to touch on the deadline really quickly. What do you think the main reason was for the Falcons standing pat yesterday afternoon?
Well, it's probably a variety of reasons why they weren't able to get a guy. I'm sure they were, and I know, having talked to Terry, that they were, you know, they were looking at stuff, but it wasn't that they weren't active. They were looking and seeing what fit. Certainly last weekend getting 3 sacks helped out with maybe your feeling about what's going on the defensive side of the ball against Dallas. But I do think that, you know, you got to match it with, are you willing to give away some of your draft capital? What's it look like from a salary cap standpoint, those kind of things. And then who was available? Who were the guys that were on the block? And so some of them were a little bit too high priced. I think for the Falcons' taste, and some of them they didn't feel like was any better than what they had here. So you kind of stay status quo.
I had a question, Dave. We just talked about that right before you got it on. How deep is this Falcons defensive line? Talking about from end to end, the rotation. How deep is it, Dave?
Well, what they're rotating right now, Randy, you know as well as I do, they're rotating from an interior standpoint. You got Onyemata, Jarrett, Street. And Goldman are the guys that are rotating in the interior. Okay. Did I miss somebody there? Ruka Roro's out.
Hurt, yeah.
So, and then on the perimeter, you're talking about rotating potentially, you know, 5 techniques. And Randy, I'll let you dive into all the jargon, but you're rotating some 5 techniques with just stand up linebackers. So you Harrison fought factors into that 5 technique type player that's playing the edge some. They've played him inside some. And then you got the Ebikades, and obviously Renzo Carter's out, but Judon. You've got James Smith Williams, who's banged up now. Mm-hmm. So from a depth standpoint, it's going to get tested. And maybe that's to your point of who's going to step up on the outside. Now, the ability that Troy Anderson is probably going to be able to be available to you this weekend allows you to do some different stuff with Caden Ellis. Now, Ellis becomes maybe a guy that you can use on the perimeter some. To help out with some of the guys that are banged up. So I do think their versatility at linebacker helps them some. Rashawn Evans being re-signed on the practice squad. He's a guy that had 135 tackles for you 2 years ago. He's a guy that certainly could plug in right away. So I think there's some depth, but I think that was one of the reasons why they built their roster with the versatility of defensive linemen. And like, you know, Brandon Dorlus, who has not played yet, Dorlus is a guy that you could certainly insert as a 5-technique guy and could play the edge maybe in the run game on first and second down and then maybe even rotate inside and rush the pass or some for you. So I think there's some versatility to the young guy there. So I do think that they built a roster to kind of be able to flow to different positions.
Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Falcons football as we do with him on Wednesdays at this time. Caden Ellis with a really nice performance on Sunday. 13 tackles, 8 solo, had a sack, couple tackles for loss. Were they using him slightly differently? Lining him up differently or deploying him differently? It was really good to see him play the way that he did.
Yeah, I didn't notice, Andy, that he was playing any differently. You know, they've got him essentially a middle linebacker. There's two of them usually on the field at the same time, unless they go to nickel, and then you get rotated defensive back in there, and they've got a dime linebacker, you know, a Kevin King or somebody that's playing in that linebacker depth area on the interior. But they like to walk him up in the gap, and he and Landman play some games as to who's coming, who's not coming. Usually Ellis is the guy that's going to come. He's a little bit more accomplished in rushing the passer. He seems to be able to negotiate either a guard or a back when it comes to trying to get him blocked. I thought he was extremely good in reading plays. He had a huge play in the opening series of downs you guys may have talked about. You know, Dallas comes out and gets, what, 3 plays in a row of run after catch. You think, oh, my goodness, this could be a long day. Then they try to run the football inexplainably. They try to run it for no gain. And then they go to a 3-count screen. Cade Ellis makes a play behind the line of scrimmage for about a 2-yard loss. It was a huge play in that drive that stunted that drive and forced Dallas to kick a field goal. And he, from that point on, he made a bunch of plays like that. You mentioned 13 tackles. He was extremely active.
Hey, did they do anything to take Kyle away, or was it just more this how the game kind of flowed, Dave?
Yeah, that was a mystery to me too, Randy. I mean, that's the tight end coming out. You know, where the hell are my catches? You know, so I think they used him a little bit, you know, in protection to a certain extent, and that didn't work out very well as Lawson ran right by him to get a sack. That's that old slide protection. I know you used to love that.
Yeah, Randy, but I got a question. But the thing about it was that back was always, we knew he was on the outside shoulder, and this time the back wasn't there.
Well, I'm sure there was a discussion with the back and Kyle Pitts after that, saying, dude, I thought you were going to help chip it. I was sitting to the inside. I was going to let you chip that outside edge, and I didn't get that help I was expecting. So, yeah, that's a discussion that you probably had many, many times with your back. But I don't know that anything stuck out to me as the reason why Kyle didn't catch the ball. Obviously, Kurt was extremely efficient, completed 19 to 24 passes. He distributed it to 3 different guys for touchdowns and his outside receivers. So, I'm not sure that was from a game plan standpoint, there was something that kept him from getting the ball.
I thought this to myself when I was watching the game on Sunday and Mooney caught that touchdown pass on fourth down. And the Falcons, they've been good on fourth down this year. I didn't realize how good. I've seen the stat now. They're 11 for 15, 73% on fourth down.
What's,
obviously that's amazing. It maybe even better than is realistic, but that's what their number is right now. What do you think goes into them having that level of success on fourth down?
Well, I think certainly when to do it and gut feel and certainly Raheem communicating with Zach to set it up. Because if you notice, it's not fourth and nine, fourth and 10.
Right.
It's fourth and 2, fourth and 3, fourth and 4. And if you look at the play prior to, there's something has been called to put you in that position to give you a chance. And I think that's been the cool part about it is they've set up the opportunity to make it a realistic opportunity to go to get it. Now the touchdown, I don't know what McCarthy was doing because I'm not sure the play that they went with Atlanta was called originally. McCarthy ran down the line of scrimmage as Atlanta was going to go for it and burned a timeout. And then when they came back out, Zimmer goes zero coverage and comes after Atlanta. What Atlanta's got is anticipating zero, and they've got a bunch look at that right side. You guys saw it how it played out. The execution was perfect. And Mooney's right down the sideline. Kirk puts it on him. So maybe McCarthy overthought that one. I thought the second conversion was one that was even maybe more impressive. Mooney's got a double move on the right side. He hitches and goes, and then it's a back shoulder stop, fade stop. And Kirk let that go well before Mooney came out of the break, which you're going to have to do with tight coverage. And Mooney makes a circus grab along the sideline to extend the drive. And that goes into what you're seeing with Mooney and Kirk. I think that we knew Mooney could run. We knew he'd blow the top off the coverage. We knew he could run after catch. He almost got away on a hitch route and turned into a monster play. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know about his route running. I don't know about you, Randy.
He's
you
nice
knew
with it.
That he, oh, my God, the guy is – you talk about manipulating coverage now with routes, whether the guy's outside technique playing zone or he bounces inside and man – he has the ability to manipulate that guy, and Kirk really is seeing him and reading that well. They're really on the same page. That's been fun to watch.
They got a, I don't want to say broken, but you got your rival.
Wounded.
Your wounded team. A wounded team going down to New Orleans. I mean, obviously, they're bad, Dave. I mean, they lost their best player. They had one of their best players on defense. They traded him away yesterday. I mean, they still got some solid players around. But, I mean, what is it about this game? And Dave, you know ball as good as anybody, and we've called it that new coach energy. How do you not get sucked into that new coach energy, even though they are wounded as they are?
Yeah, it's a good point, Randy. You go back to this team here in Atlanta when they changed coaches, mm-hmm. when Q was let go after an 0-5 start. And who took over? Raheem Morris. And what'd we do? We beat the hell out of Minnesota that next weekend. Beat them like 40-20 or something like that. And we won three of our next four games. But you know that there's an energy that comes in with a coach, but there's also a threatening of your job. You know, remember how this yep. works, Randy, where I'm now playing for my job either here in New Orleans or someplace else. And I think that's the thing that comes to mind. It's almost a slap in the face of the player saying, listen, it's not for long in this business. We just fired your head coach. If you're not willing to put the effort forward, you're not willing to play at a certain level, we can find somebody else, or we'll go find somebody else, and you won't be in the league anymore. And those paychecks quit coming in, and you don't get a chance to be a part of the league anymore. So that's real, and it kind of becomes real when something like that happens to your coach. But this is a different one, too, because it's a rivalry game. These two teams, I played in games with these two teams where we're trying to see who's going to finish in the bottom of the league, let alone the top of the league. And we're trying to put them there, not us. And so that was part of it as far as the rivalry goes. Now, there'll be no bags on the heads at this game. These Saint fans don't like Falcon fans, and neither do it's vice versa. So there's that element to it as well. But I just think that the whole pride – I know pride factor comes up, and sometimes the fans go, well, what does that really mean? Well, I just tried to explain that you're signing your name to every time you're on video. Every time you're on tape, you're signing your name to that performance. And that's being watched by the other 32 teams or other 30 teams in the league. 31 teams, whoever, you know, are taking a look at it. So there's a lot to that. And so I think, yeah, they're a wounded animal. I don't know how they lost to Carolina. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had almost 450 yards of offense in the game. They didn't convert on third down. If you go back, and here's one stat for you guys. Their first four games, they were 2-2. Mm-hmm. They were converting 53% of the time on third down on offense. The last five games, they're converting 28% of the time. Ooh. They converted 33% of the time this last weekend against Carolina. They were 2-for-16 against Denver or against the Chargers a couple weeks ago. Yeah, they've struggled on the money down.
And they're 0-5 in those five games as well.
Yeah.
Arch, we appreciate the time as
appreciate
always.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Good to be with you guys. We still got to defend Kamara, and that dude's still running the rock.
So yes,
get
he
ready,
is.
Buckle your chin strap. This is what your kind of game, man. You love these kind of games.
Oh, yeah, no doubt
Buckle
about it,
down
man.
Between the hedges right here.
Dave Archer here, Falcons Radio Network. Great stuff, as always, on Wednesdays. And it's funny, you go back and look at it, because Falcons beat them, and they've won 5 of 6 since then.
Right.
Saints haven't won a game, wheels fall off, fire the coach, all that. Like, two seasons have gone very different directions. You remember how the Falcons won that game?
Yes.
The drive where no completions were made. They got one pass interference call, and they took three bad shots, and then, thank God, Younghoe Koo made a 58-yarder. Like, that's how that
Ooh,
game – that's how they beat
right.
them. That's how they beat
that's
them last
right.
time. So,
that's
like,
right.
you know, like, not that long ago, they played a very like, competitive game
with
them.
Yeah, it was. But, and that was, like, one of the things because Taysom Hill didn't play.
In the second half, he didn't.
In the second half.
First half, he had a couple touchdowns.
And, oh, man, what a – yeah, dog.
Yeah. It's amazing the razor-thin line, right?
And then you got this team.
Yeah.
This team that's going down there, this Falcons team going down there, who for some reason always got to make it freaking interesting. Always got to make it interesting.
No doubt.
Ugh.
No doubt. I know it's like all the factors stack up for an easy one on Sunday, but I bet it won't be.
Yep.
Bet it won't be. All right, we'll come back. We'll get you an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids.
Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com